grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this Sunday, this third Sunday in Eastertide, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just encourage you again to please make sure that you go to our church website, also on our Facebook page, so that you can stay abreast of all the developments that happen here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne the scroll written within, and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? No one in heaven or on earth or on under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I wept much that no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Weep not. Lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and by thy blood didst ransom men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, 'To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Estonia is just a small little country. It's part of what's called the Baltic region in Northern Europe. And it only has a population today of about 1 million people, just over 1 million people. When you consider that the city of Philadelphia has about 5 million people in the metro area, you can get a sense of how small Estonia is as a country. Throughout its country, it's been occupied by various powers, the Danes, the Germans, the Swedes, and during the Cold War, it was occupied by the former Soviet Union, a nuclear power that had one of the largest and most powerful militaries in the world at the time. But in 1988, the little country of Estonia was able to win its independence. Of course, they didn't have the tanks or the guns or the other weaponry to be able to withstand the Soviet military, but they had something even more potent and dangerous. They had songs. Since 1689, the country hosted a music festival where Estonians would gather together and they would sing songs celebrating their culture, they would sing songs celebrating their religion, and their choral music. Indeed, despite the fact that they are a very small country, they have one of the largest repertoires of choral music in the world. And that's what happened in 1988. For 4 days, Estonians came together and they sang. Over 100,000 people, 10% of the population of the country, they came and they sang. And they sang. And they kept singing. And when it was all over, they had won their independence from the Soviet Union, one of the most powerful militaries in the world at that time. And it was known as the Singing Revolution. There's something about singing that engages the imagination, something about singing that engenders hope. In singing, people often find the unity and the courage not only to envision a different reality, but also to live into that reality, even during some of the most difficult circumstances. That's why whenever you have any serious social movement for change, you notice that people are always singing. A couple of years back, we were shown that film here during MLK Day, the early days of the civil rights movement, and people, one of the things that I noted was how people were constantly singing songs about a reality that it looked impossible to realize. They would sing those songs like "We Will Overcome," even as they were being attacked by dogs and water hoses and police with batons, and yet people would sing. And that's what I like about the book of Revelation, particularly the portion that Buff read this morning. Because throughout the book of Revelation, what we find is a lot of singing. I should say perhaps a lot of worshiping, but since singing is such an important part of worship, that's what's going on throughout the book of Revelation. People are constantly singing. Creatures are constantly singing. Angels are constantly singing. There's over 15 hymns in the book of Revelation where people are singing. And that's why we do a lot of singing ourselves here in worship. I know the pandemic stilled our voices for a little while. And of course, over the years, we haven't had the numbers to have much of a choir anymore. But I envision a church that sings, a church that will continue to sing of a new reality, the new reality that is broken into the world, the new reality that comes with the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to be people who sing. So we'll be looking at the book of Revelation a little bit off and on, as it's assigned for our lectionary readings in this season of Easter. It's often a very much a misunderstood book, a book that's often used to promote fear and loathing, but in actuality, the book of Revelation is a book of hope. And that's why everyone is constantly singing. That's what John the seer, who wrote the book of Revelation, sees, of course. He has been banished to the island of Patmos. And there he is given a vision where he is called up into the very throne room of God. And there given a glimpse of reality. We're often tempted to believe that reality is what we can see. We think that reality is about things like war and terrorism, about division and injustice and hatred. The reality is about sickness and death. We sometimes are tempted to believe that these are the things that are really real. Indeed, I've often had people to say to me sometimes, get real. Get real, man. When are you going to get real? Get real. This is what the real world is like. But John says, no. Reality is God. There's a God sitting above the circle of the earth. There's a God who has the whole world in his hands. There's a God who is sitting high and lifted up on his throne, and all blessings and honor and glory go to God. John sees all of that. But he also sees other things. He sees myriads and myriads of angels. I'm not sure what a myriad is, but it sounds like a lot. John sees a lot of angels. He sees four living creatures that are before the throne. He even sees some Presbyterians. I know our English translation doesn't say that. It says elders, but the Greek word for elder is presbyter. So John even sees some Presbyterians before the throne. No doubt they're there to make sure things are done decently and in order, even in heaven. But he sees Presbyterians or presbyters before the throne. And if all that was what John saw, that would be enough. That would be enough for me to see God high and lifted up, to see all the angels, to see the four living creatures. That would be enough for me. But John sees something else. He is told to look for the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, who alone can open the scroll that contains the mysteries of God's purposes for the world. But when he looks, he doesn't see a powerful warrior type figure. He doesn't see a military general ready to engage in war. He doesn't see a powerful business tycoon like Elon Musk. He doesn't see a professional athlete glorying in his victories. He doesn't see a celebrity shining in the midst of fans. What he sees instead is a lamb. And not just a lamb, but a lamb that looks like it has been slain. And it's the lamb who was able to open the scroll, the lamb who was able to take the scroll from the one seated on the throne and open it up. And that's when everyone starts singing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Powerful song, a glorious song. It's an earth-shaking song, and all of heaven is singing. But the song is not a song that is just meant to be sung in heaven, which is a song that we are called to sing down here, right now, in the midst of this world. Indeed, John sees that. He sees all of creation singing the same songs. He sees the birds. He sees the fish. He sees the creeping things. He sees human beings. All of creation is singing this song. Blessings and honor and glory and might belong to the Lamb, to the one who sits on the throne. Of course, if we are going to sing this song right, we have to make sure that we see the same thing that John saw. And what John was able to see is a whole new definition of power. A whole new definition of God's power. Sometimes we Christians are not even able to see that clearly. Sometimes we when we think we need to change things, when we want to bring change in the world, and that's what Easter is about. Easter is not just about my individual salvation. It's not just about me waiting to go to heaven. Easter is about God undertaking to redeem this world. Easter is about new creation, the new creation that you and I are called to be a part of. But oftentimes we think that if we are going to do that, then we have to have some power. Power, the way the world has power. We've got to get us some kind of power. Maybe it's a political power. Maybe it's economic power. Maybe it's the power to influence people. But we've got to have some power so that we can overcome our enemies, beat up our enemies, and we can instill the kind of world that we believe that God wants us to instill. That's not what John sees. Instead, what John sees is a lamb that has been slain. And everybody is saying the power belongs to the lamb. Power belongs to the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Only the Lamb is worthy. In other words, the power of God is not the power to beat up God's enemies, not even the power to beat up our enemies. The power of God is not the power to make people do whatever we want them to do. The power of God is not about having political power so we can smash our enemies, but the power of God is the power of the Lamb. The power of humble service and self-giving love. Sometimes we in the church believe that, you know, we're called to save people. That is, we believe that if we, you know, can marshal the right kinds of resources, we can save the people around us. We've got the resources maybe to save the people around us, to feed hungry people, maybe to engage in works that could redeem and uplift people, and those things are good. We ought to be engaged in them, but the most important thing that we are called to do is to emulate the Lamb. We are called to be people of humble service and self-giving love. We are called to emulate the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to be vulnerable in the midst of the world because all power and honor and glory belong to the Lamb. To the Lamb of God. And that's why everybody is singing. And that's why we were called to sing as well. Whenever we come here to worship, we are engaged in what to the world around us is the most dangerous act. We are proclaiming a different reality. We are singing about a different reality. We are calling before our imaginations a whole different reality. That's one of the reasons that John is banished to the island of Patmos. John is banished there not because he was engaging in something called religious activity. He is banished there because he made the bold proclamation that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who is worthy. The Lamb. He is the real Lord and Savior of the world. The real Lord and Savior of the universe. And he proclaimed that in a world where there was already a Lord. Lord with lots of legions and power. And that Lord didn't much like anyone going around saying that there was another kind of Lord. And so John is banished to the island of Patmos. But there he has his vision. And he has this vision of people singing. All honor and glory and blessings belong to the Lamb. The angels are singing it. The creatures are singing it. Everyone is singing it. All honor and glory and power belong to the Lamb. The little country of Estonia was not the only country that won its independence from the Soviet Union in the late 1980s. Hard to believe 30 years has gone by since that time, but they were all of the Baltic countries won their independence: Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. They all won their independence. It was basically by singing. They would sing and sing, and that singing became contagious, and they would lock arms. At one point, there was a huge chain of people across countries locking arms, and they would sing in the face of Soviet power. And of course, at one point, the Soviets tried to crush them. They brought in tanks. Several people were killed, but the people did not respond with violence. They sung. They would sing their songs. And when it was over, the Baltics had won their independence. And I remember thinking at the time, what everyone was thinking when it all started, that they don't have a chance. The Soviets are so powerful. They're so mighty. They've got tanks. They've got everything. They're so powerful. These people don't even have a chance. But what the world couldn't see was that the Soviet Union was already a spent force. They were already teetering under the weight of their own internal contradictions. And so when people began to sing, it led to the implosion of the Soviet Union. The whole big, mighty Soviet Union imploded. Eventually, it would be no more. And that's true of much of what we see of the forces and powers of the world today. The forces and powers of debt seem so overwhelming. They seem so powerful. The forces and powers of war, the forces and powers of sickness and death, the forces and powers of injustice, it seems so powerful, so overwhelming. Sometimes we say, we don't even have a chance. But the truth is, the forces and powers of death have already been defeated. They've already been exhausted. They've already been defeated on the cross. They've already been defeated by the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so now all we have to do is to do our part. Part of our part is to sing about the new reality that has broken into the world at Easter, the new reality of God's love that has already undertaken to redeem the world. To sing about the new reality, the new truth, that all glory and honor and might and blessing belong to the Lamb. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could clap hands with Christians all over the world and sing that song together? He claps hands with Christians in Mexico, in Canada, Christians struggling in China, Christians on the continent of Africa, Christians wherever they are. If we could do with the people in the Baltic dead, and we could just clap hands and sing together. All glory and honor and might belong to the Lord. Doesn't belong to Wall Street, doesn't belong to the powerful political leaders in the world, doesn't belong to any of the powers that think that they are worthy. The only one that is worthy is the Lamb. If we could only sing that together, sing that as if we meant it. Sing it and live it. We can watch the forces and powers of death that have so much of the world in its grip begin to teeter, because they've already been defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All honor, power, and glory belong to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen.